Welcome back to That's Cricket. This episode is brought to you by Runmaker. Today, this is your preview show of the second test of the Ashes at the Gabba. Liam, ready for this, mate?
Yeah, I'm excited because it's England are going to be prepping very well. I think they're prepping well. I mean, rumors around the camp, it's the best they've ever felt in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And I think they took the hit. They're going to learn from it. And I think the next three tests, it's going to be bang, bang, bang.
Ready to bounce back?
Yeah. You got to look at it like that, right? The guys are excited. But yeah, I'm good. I'm optimistic. I think the guys are going to bounce back.
Okay, Liam's optimistic. Guys, we are going to get straight into it. So we're going to take a little look back at what happened in the first test. So much happened there. We covered all of that. But the lineup is going to change. Same squad is going to be announced. Same squad is announced from Australia's perspective.
Yep.
Moving into the second test. Khawaja, meant to be Australia's opener, had his back spasm. Then came out during the week, had his comments on the pitch, saying that it was a piece of shit wicket.
Day one,
piece of shit wicket. Yeah. But he didn't even bat in the didn't get to bat day two. And now we're looking at the situation where potentially he doesn't bat in this second test. Thoughts?
My thoughts are, I mean, was the wicket ideal for a batsman? Probably not.
Probably not.
To come out and say that is probably not the best look.
I don't think so.
Is it true? Is it not? I mean, the year before it was 17 wickets. This year it was 19 wickets. So there's plenty of movement. There's nip, there's swing, there's bounce. But also the point we chatted about, both teams, how many leaves was there?
How many leaves were there? There was no leaves. There's no leaves. Call a review. Zach Crawley left two. Zach Crawley left two in that, what, two of six were leaves. Two of six were leaves, two were blocks.
Mm-hmm.
One was a swing and a miss. One was a nice edge, thick edge,
that's
driving on the up.
I think we need to start calling him Blocker Crawley. I think that's two blocks from 12 balls, mate. That's definitely
that's
blocker.
Too many for baseball. Two blocks is too many for baseball.
So maybe Crawley needs to play more shots. Maybe that's the answer.
Well, that's what they keep telling us, us that they didn't go hard enough. They didn't go hard enough.
I actually agree with that because when you look at some of the dismissals. Tit for tat here. But I think it's either like you go all out or you don't. The in-between's always the one that gets you, right?
Where
you're
but like, how about we just block a couple? How about we just get a dot ball? How about we just let one go?
How about that one? Maybe I do, but like, can they play like that? Sure they can. But you're either all or nothing. You can't be in between. You can't just stick your hands at it. If you're going to stick your hands at it, throw the bat at it.
Yes.
If you edge it, it's probably going to go over the slips.
Yes.
So that's, for me, it's like, play your game. Don't get stuck. If the ball starts to move around, still be positive. If you want to play the baseball route, go for the baseball route. But don't be stuck in between, putting your fishing rod out there, trying to catch it.
So I understand. Like, I fully understand playing your game. I fully understand baseball. What I don't understand is this whole notion of you're not going to block the ball and you're not going to let the ball go. Like, blocking the ball and letting the ball go is a part of Test cricket. It's not T20 cricket. It's not ODI cricket. It's 5 days. You have plenty of time. You got 90 overs to the first day to just let the ball go. It's okay. Like, you want to let the ball get a little bit older, and then you want to be able to go and hit the drive. Now, in Perth, it was just like driving on the up is a no-no. Everyone knows that. It's not like, oh, they didn't know. You know what I mean? And I think it's okay. Like, I just don't understand why they have this, oh, just go harder. Like, going harder doesn't help anyone. Like, I think we looked at Ollie Pope. Ollie Pope had a couple of really good, he was looking really solid there before lunch. He was, like, really seeing the ball well. He was blocking the ball well. All this he got done on the crease with the LBW. But I think it's okay to see out the ball through the tough times. You know, Stark was on fire. It's okay to let the ball go. Like, especially with him bowling across the right-hander, the ball's just going away. Obviously, they may be scared of the ball coming in, but I don't know. I just think that you have to play smart cricket, and just swinging at everything going hard isn't smart cricket. That's
so you're pretty much what you're saying it to take it all back is no big drives, but you can ramp early. That was safer to ramp early on that wicket. Do you think it would have been safer to
ramp? I mean, I wouldn't be ramping early. There's no way I'd ever ramp to Stark. It doesn't make any sense. Like, there's no, like, the angles are all wrong, right?
Reverse ramp.
Why would you do that? Like, that's not a cricket shot. Like, back in my day, my grandma would have smacked me in the back of the head if I tried anything like that, right? It's like, I know that ramp is a thing now, right? And semi-conscious ramps and Joe Root ramps. But what's the risk or reward isn't there? Let the ball go. So let it go. You got all day to play.
Maybe just the way that cricket works now, and there's so much franchise stuff, it's hard to get into that space. Maybe. I don't know because I'm not a batsman, but I think with a bowler, you know, you have your stock ball whenever you play, whether it's T10, T20, one day cricket, test cricket, you can generally run up and hit the spot because you use that delivery in all formats.
Yeah.
With batting, I guess it's a little bit different and a little bit different. So yeah, I mean, I agree. We should leave the ball more, or we should try and smoke the ball. Don't get stuck in between.
That's I think it's almost exclusively like, I think that test cricketers shouldn't play shorter form cricket. Like, because if you go back to the Sachin era and the Ponting era, right? They only played test cricket and ODIs. And ODIs was the opportunity for you to kind of go harder at the ball, have the higher run rate. Well, now they're expecting to have that ODI style run rate inside of test cricket, which doesn't need to be there, but they want it there. It makes it more exciting and the game is boring. No, it's not. I mean, like, we don't lose 20 wickets, but the game's all over in 2 days.
The Optus Stadium loses 20 million.
$3 million. Losing all this money. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And when you think of, like, when the greats look at the game, or even when the pundits look at the game, it's like, you test cricket is about the bloke that stayed out there and, like, batted his innings through, like, stayed till the end. Like, you think of Steve Waugh's perfect day, like, getting his 100 inside of the day and batting the day. Like, I don't think we're going to look back at the baseball era of cricketers and go, oh, that was the pinnacle era of cricket. Like, I don't think that is. Like, you know what I mean? We look back now at Ponting's era and, you know, Langer and Hayden and Clark and Hussey and these guys. Like, especially, I'm just talking exclusively Australia, that dug in. They would dig in. They would play the day out. You know, they would save games. You know, do it for their country. Do it for their team. And I just don't think that, like, the way England's going about their cricket is going to have that, like, look back 10, 20 years from now.
I think it's called test cricket for a reason, right?
Yeah.
But you still have to find a way to win. It didn't work first test, obviously.
Didn't work first test.
It's supposed to be 5 days. A lot of tests finish early. 2 days is crazy. It's kind of like, yeah, what the F is going on here? What the duck?
What the duck?
Like, how do we find a way to win? And I think going about it like that wasn't obviously the right way. Both teams as well, because it was 2 days and it was Travis's innings, which took the game apart. And he showed that you could bat on that wicket with the right strategy. And his strategy is what he does, open the bat in a T20 and one day cricket. He's very smart. He maneuvers the ball well, hits in different angles. But it is test cricket. That's the name of the game. Find a way to win test cricket.
Yeah.
And if you're not winning, go back to the drawing board. Why did we lose? Were we too aggressive? Were we not aggressive enough? Did we leave? Didn't we leave?
Yeah.
Did we bowl our lines long enough, our lengths long enough? But yeah, I like it in some respect because I love, like, all the stuff that goes on in test cricket in terms of the highlights, the sixes and fours and running down. But I do also like the ability for someone to bat all day, to walk off there, knowing you've done a job for the team. You could be on 70 not out and bat all day, but you know you've laid a platform for that team.
Yeah.
I like a bit of both. I'm a little bit on the fence with it.
Yeah, on the fence. There you go. So that kicked us off. We're on the strong foot here, moving forward here. So this next segment is brought to you by Runmaker. This is the Runmaker. He's the Runmaker, Travis Head. Travis Head's come out during the week. Red Bull, White Bull, Pink Bull. Doesn't matter. There is an opportunity for Head to obviously dominate this next test also. I don't think it doesn't matter to him where he's going to be in the order. He came out and said that he's preparing for everything. He could open. He could stay down at five. What's your thoughts? Where would you like to see Travis Head? We'd like to see him open in the ping pong test, or would you like to see him stay at five and maybe move someone else to the top, keep Khawaja? What are you thinking about Travis Head?
I don't know if they're going to go back to the one, a traditional opener, but if I'm, why not? I'd put him up top. He's used to facing the new ball, nipping around, white ball. He's used to that. Also, if I'm a bowler, it's probably going to make me think differently from ball one. It's going to put pressure on me straight away. Am I going to go away from my game plan of hitting top of off because he's backing away and slashing it? All of a sudden, your bowlers, it could be the first day of the test, first few overs, you're on the back foot.
On the back foot,
Because he changes quickly, right? When you bowl to him when he's in his defense, it looks like you can get him out any time because he has that, like, awkward kind of crabby style. No disrespect to Travis, but he has that way he'll, like, shape it or move across and nail it for one. So you always think you're in the game with him early on. But I think if he just comes and plays the way he wants to play, England are on the back foot from ball one. It's hard to navigate. The game can get away from you. On a wicket that could be moving around, nipping around, all of a sudden you've had him for 20 overs.
Yeah.
And then, okay, that's massive.
Yeah.
That could shift everything from that first session.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan of him being in the opener. I mean, he opens for the T20, opens in the one dayers. I mean, it doesn't look like he really cares where he's going to bat in the order. He's just going to bat his game. And, like, he batted himself in during the second innings. He got himself in. He saw a couple out and then he just went ham, and it's got to go down as one of the greatest innings in Ashes history, and maybe even cricket. You know, it's up there. It was an incredible innings, and I think that, like you said, that's the biggest point that you mentioned, putting the pressure back on England. I don't think England is scared of Weatherall or Khawaja. They're not scared.
No,
you know what I mean. They're not worried. They're like, okay, we have a plan, or we can go do our thing, and I think they'll back themselves to get that early wicket. But I think with Travis Head there, it makes them think more. It's making them go, oh, what are we going to do now? And obviously they're going to try to, well, the plan that I would be doing is like through the gate on the offside, coming with the right arm, around the wicket, kind of go through the gate. I don't know why. I'm not sure why they went into this plan of coming over the wicket and then bumping it into his armpit. Like apparently he's batted with the short ball or whatever, but he was getting it super fine. And then he baseballed one back over Jofra's head. Mm. He just full on came down the wicket, bang, just full straight down the ground, cross bat, like didn't care.
I think England took that chance, didn't they? They know that Travis, sometimes when you look at previous games, he might struggle in the armpit region and he kind of shovels it a bit like Warner does. Yeah. Obviously, both great players. And I think maybe, obviously, with the short boundary, Travis is going to use that bounce in the wicket and get underneath it.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He got inside it and it was, 65 metres, 70 metres. That's not a big hit. There's a couple of chances where it just went over fine leg's head or it just cleared third man. So maybe the thought that's the best way to go about it. But he was like, I'm just going to go with this. I'm going to play my shots and back myself. And sometimes when you get a batsman like that, it's dangerous because he can score quickly. When you look at the point of Brisbane and opening pair, Weatherald and Khawaja could get runs, but it's not destructive. When you look at Travis Head, he can change a game in a session. And that's the difference. They can bat all the way through. Travis can also, but they're not destructive. They're not Travis Head.
Yeah, I think that's the term. They're like, they're being destructive.
Destructive.
Because Warner was destructive. Warner could get, you know, runs in a session, 100 in a session, you know, really put it to a team, put him under the pump.
Yeah.
You don't think of Weatherald, like obviously he's new. He hasn't got runs under his belt in international cricket, but you kind of want one guy to go after the batters and one guy to be at the other end. Like I think of Hayden and Langer. Hayden went after the batters, Langer was at the other end, and that's kind of like the duo that you kind of put together, same as Warner and Khawaja. Warner was at one end, Warner went after the batters, Khawaja at the other end. Like that's the kind of the mimic that you want at the top of the order. So yeah, there's a spot for him there. I think Australians and cricket fans would want to have him there for the, you know, out and out, taking it to England. Now what does that mean now? So if Khawaja does come out, we have a spot to fill, right? So we're filling a spot. The names are being thrown around. The lineup's remaining the same. So Josh Inglis is the batter. That's the top batter in the squad. Does it make sense to have him come in at five? Or does it make sense to have him as open? I think it probably makes sense if you're going to put Head up, then Inglis comes in at five. That would make the most sense, right? If you're going to drop Khawaja, Inglis comes in.
English, the Englishman.
The Englishman.
Born in England. Born in Yorkshire. Yeah, played about 1 mile from where my house is in Yorkshire, which is crazy.
That's
where he played his cricket. But I also managed to play with him for the Unicorns.
Okay.
I think he's a clever batsman. Obviously, one day T20, but also now in red ball cricket, he's scoring runs. He's hard to ball to. He's small. He cuts, he pulls. You know, he's a very clever player.
Yeah.
Possibly you can bring him in. In terms of the batting lineup, I think they should have called it Mitch Marsh. That's what they should have
been. Mitch Marsh. Hey, I think everyone wanted Mitch Marsh. I mean, that's the... Well, actually, on Mitch Marsh, he's actually going to play Western Australia this weekend. Mm. They're calling him back to WA. So he's going to play his first game for WA in a long time. So he is padding up. He is going to have the whites. So he's going to play a WA game.
I like that.
I think if... I mean, being Mitch Marsh, he's some of the guy that loves his cricket. Mm. I think he's a fan... He's a fan. Well, he's become a fan favorite, but I think he's a team favorite. I think he's a very good team player. Most of the talk that I hear around him in the side is that the team loves having him around the Bison. He's a great team man. And something that makes great teams is great players. And sometimes you've got to have, instead of just picking the 11 best players, maybe you pick someone that's best for the team. I think he's a good player to have around the team.
Destructive, again, a destructive, obviously can take wickets, can catch. Yeah. It's like he's catching pigeons, right? Big old hands over there. He can ball, he can take wickets when needed to. But him up top with Travis Head is complete Trav ball and...
Yes.
And Mitch ball, whatever you
want. I like him up top because he, in last year, he played in the Border Gavaskar Trophy. It didn't do very well. He never nicked off without nicking off, and there was a video review, and he wasn't out, but he walked himself. He tried to walk himself, and then umpire gave him out. But and then he kind of got dropped. Now he's in charge of the T20 team, and he's opening the batting in the ODIs also, and doing phenomenal. Mm. He scored multiple 50s, and he's been doing very good in the white ball cricket.
Everywhere he plays now. He's destructive.
I mean, pink ball, white ball are similar styles of play, the day-night test. So it could have been. I don't think it's going to be, but I think we would have liked to have him in the side. That would have been, like, I think Aussies would have frothed. That's a good word, froth. Aussie would have frothed over that one. Marsh and Head opening the batting. It would have been frothing. Frothing. That's a real Aussie word. That's a first.
Isn't like a beer, like that's a frothy beer.
Yeah. But so you're super excited. Froth. Oh, yeah, froth. It's an Australian, real Australian word right there.
I'm not sure how that lands in USA, though. I'm not sure. It's a frothy one.
It's showing the real roots.
I like it, mate.
Froth from there. So in regards to this, now also in with the lineup, like I said, the lineup hasn't changed. The squad hasn't changed, but there is also a reality where a Lion doesn't play. So Lion got injured. He got hit in the stomach during the first test. He went off the field. And then coming into the pink ball test, maybe you're not expected to go all 5 days, maybe not even 4 days. Do you play the spinner?
The old gut punch.
Do you play the spinner?
You got the old gut punch.
You got the old gut punch.
The old gut punch. I don't know, because he's a very good bowler and you need someone who can dot up. You know that the batsmen, we said this last podcast, they're going to come down and try and tee him off as well. They're not going to let him stay in one place and bowl dots. But he's a clever bowler.
I mean,
it's always nice to have that spinner in your team. You can say you've got other guys in the team who can do part-time, Steve Smith, etc., Travis Head. But Nathan Lyon's one of the best off spinners that's ever played the game, right?
500-plus wickets.
You look at the stats, that's just not on turning wickets. That's on wickets that does bounce. He's got a method for every wicket. I'd be surprised if they don't play him, because they have a lot of options in terms of all-rounders who can ball seam. So for me, it leaves a space for him to play.
Yeah. I mean, it's an option for him to play, option for him not to play. Options, if you go look at options, if you weren't to pick Lyon, technically you could play Webster, get a second bowler who can also bowl. He bowls pace and he can bowl seam and he can bowl spin. And then you get an extra batter. So now you've extended the batting lineup even further, having potentially, if we were to like redo a lineup where it was Weatherald, Head, Marnus, Smith, then you got Inglis, Green, Webster. And now you're like that then you got Stark be batting down at like 10-ish. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's a hard team. I think I was watching a podcast recently and Mike Hussey and the guys chatting about it. That's a pretty solid team,
man. That's a lot of batting. Yeah, that's hard to you know, you think about England, like, oh, you get one, get two, you get three. Stark would bat at nine. You gotta get all the way down there to like get into the tail. The tail really wags. That's tough. That's tough.
When I look at it now, it's like the confidence Australia's took from that.
Yeah.
Beating England at kind of their game, the aggressive style. Also for me, Marnus looked incredible. He looked confident. He looked in controlled. Like, him moving on to that is, you've got your two openers where you maybe can take a chance with Travis Head and Weatherald. And then you've obviously got Marnus, you've got Smith who can bat for hours and hours and hours. So you might be able to afford to put Travis up top.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the Marnus thing is I love the Marnus thing. Didn't do great last year, kind of got dropped, goes over and gets really stuck into his first class and his Sheffield Shield, scores, what's it called, 500s over there. Come back looking real good. And I mean, his 50 is kind of like to the wayside. We haven't even really spoken about it because Travis Head went and did whatever, but a great partnership that he put on with Head. Like, you know, part of cricket and part of the, sometimes you don't get the accolades, but being the partner into a great innings is should be more celebrated, I think. The partner. Maybe we should make that one of the awards part of here. One of the things we stand out, we kind of give note to the guy at the other end. The guy at the other end. Because like, he was the guy at the other end, and you need that. I mean, personally, like a personal story, like when I scored my first 100, most of that, I give the credit to the guy at the other end, Pete, who was like, telling me every ball to breathe. He's like, just breathe.
Big Pete?
Just breathe. Yeah, just like, just breathe. Like, just tell me to breathe, mate. Tell me to breathe. Then you get to the 100.
But in that, what you talk about, in that partnership, it wasn't that Marnus just soaked it up. He's like, he was aggressive with it.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes in a partnership like that, Travis Head will be going off and smoking the ball left, right, and center, and the person down the other end will just get off strike. He wasn't doing that. He was playing good cricket. He was being aggressive. The ball was there. He was going to smack it. He was going to back away, and he was going to play his his shots. And that's what he did. So that's when they worked really well together. It was like, we're going to do this together.
Yeah. And I think something that brings so much confidence for Lavishane is like he finished with a not out. Mm-hmm. Like I think finishing with a not out, like when you finish, when you get a not out.
Red inker is always nice.
Yeah. You just feel so good going into the next 10 that you go to bat. Like it just feels so good. So he's going to come off that high of being at not out with the win. And he's going to be playing at Brizzy. He's going to be playing in his hometown or the team that he plays for. And he's going to have a home crowd behind him. And I think...
Also, just a red inker is when you get not out in cricket, right?
There you go.
So yes. Yeah. So in the scorebook, it normally you finish, if someone's scoring the game, the old traditional way is like it's a little red inker at the end of your batting name, which means the person wasn't out in that game.
Yes.
And obviously your average is going to go up. People love a little dirty red inker.
Little dirty red inker.
A lot of the guys who bat down the end, like myself, 8, 9, 10, 11, always like a not out.
Not
always
not
like a not out because your average is going high. Yeah. You might have scored 50 runs in the season, but you average 45. And then the bowlers are happy with that.
Yes. So, Lyon in, not in, we don't know. Cummins, at this point, looks like he's still out. They didn't change the squad. He has been bowling. He looks very good in the nets, watching him bowl. At this point, there's no reason, I think, to bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably best on the safe side to hold him off. And I think he's really just, he's getting those net sessions in just to get match ready. But it's not worth the risk, right?
100%. How much cricket has he played? You have nets, obviously. They're going to get his numbers up. They're going to get loads in his legs. But why risk it when you have Ball and Doggett, who bowl really well? Stark bowled amazingly well. I can't forget him. He was obviously the standout yes. bowler in that series, in that first test. So you probably don't need to do that because these guys are already in the heat of the battle. Why bring in Pat Cummins to potentially bring him back a little bit early? Why don't you give him, obviously, after that first test finished, you have so much time to the second test. He can get his numbers up, rest, get himself prepped for that third test. Because I think these bowlers from the Australian team did really well. You don't need to change it. What's the point in risking your best bowler?
Yes. Yes. And in with that, obviously, Hazelwood still out. Not sure if he's going to come back at all during the Ashes at all. There's still debate on what's happening there. But in with that, there's talk of maybe Neeser coming in and being another batter there. Something that we mentioned just before the show, I'm not a fan of bringing someone debutant, like in for one test and then dropping him. Like, think about Doggett. Doggett just took 5 wickets, right? And he bowled very well. He did a great supporting role. What's the point of now having him come in for one test and then dropping him for the next test? Like, for someone that's also going to make their debut, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't like that.
I don't think they will. I think they'll stick with them.
They'll stick with Doggett?
Why not? He bowled nicely.
That's what I'm saying. Why not? But I think a lot of the talk is like, oh, you'll bring Neeser when you get an extra bat. And it's like,
You have a lot of batters anyway.
They have a lot of batters. Because it's now like, could you bring Neeser in? Could you bring Webster in? Are you going to play Khawaja? I mean, it's going to come down to that, I don't know, day before, 2 days before. We're almost there. We're about 2 days before. We'll find out in the next 24 hours or so what the actual squad is going to be. You mentioned Stark. Okay. Stark with the pink ball is the GOAT.
He is.
Absolute GOAT. 81 wickets. 81 wickets he has taken with the pink ball in 27 innings. That's insane. That's insane. And the next closest is Pat Cummins at 43. And also you got Nathan Lyon in there at 43, Josh Hazelwood. Obviously, the Australians are the highest. I think they play the most out of pink ball tests. But,
Jimmy Anderson's not building from that, obviously. So it's a full Australian barrage with one of the great, well, English best bowler, one of the best bowlers at the bottom here, who's obviously not in the squad, who's finished from Test cricket. But yeah, that's a little bit daunting for England batters to look at.
Absolute GOAT status though, right? He just next level. Swinging the ball. It's swinging the ball in. It's not really like he swings the ball away, but he's got that wobble seam and then he angles it away and he gets them driving on the up, gets Crawley out like that. What's it like? Have you done much pink ball action or that kind of was, I don't know, it's kind of newer, right? When this came into effect, right?
I played in Abu Dhabi for the MCC 11 against the County Cricket Championship. So it's like pre-season.
Yeah.
I didn't bowl too much. I got injured. I remember smacking a few, but I didn't bowl too much. I think it's in terms of the twilight. obviously, and we can get into the stuff that Steve Smith's doing now to try and to prepare against that.
Yes.
But I think it's a certain time of the day when the light dips away and the floodlights come on, it's hard to bat, and that's kind of the witching hour. That's kind of where the bowlers want the ball in the hand because it does move around a little bit. The batsmen are not picking it up as clearly as they want to. And it feels like there's a lot of wickets that happens in bundles there. So I've not bowled too much with it, but I think it doesn't do more than the red ball.
Doesn't do more, doesn't do less.
I think it's just the day night.
Kind of just, yeah. I mean, the ball itself is pink, and I mean, they probably use the same leather and just dye it, right? I don't know exactly.
Yeah, the Kookaburra, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. But it's the other thing, part of it is it's the day night. So they're playing test cricket at night, which is obviously a new concept. And yeah, Steve Smith, he's going out and he's giving a little bit of Shivnarine Chandrapaul love. He's giving a little bit of black on the eyes.
We love a bit of Chandrapaul.
Chandrapaul, we love Chandrapaul. Here we got a little bit of footage here of Smith. He's gonna have the black under the eyes. Oh, maybe see it a little bit there. But yes, Shivnarine Chandrapaul. You actually played a little bit with Shivnarine.
I did. One of the best players I've ever played with. One of the best players that's ever played the game. When we're looking at this, apparently someone referred to this as the eye black. What does it do? It reduces the glare from the floodlights by absorbing the light that would have hit the skin.
So I don't know. Some people think it's a placebo. Some people think that it's real. Manus was like, well, if you think it's a placebo and you think that it's real, then it could be real. But like, here it is. It's Shivnarine Chandrapaul. It was a shout out. Almost another test, 10,000 test runs. Great
for
game.
Him.
Great. It worked for him.
Because you think about if you're batting and it's obviously you're covering the cheekbone. So obviously when the light hits the cheekbone, you might get some glare into your eyes.
Yes.
So obviously if you can stop that, and even if it helps you a tiny, tiny bit, it's better than not helping you.
Yes.
So we'll see.
I might try and do it when we're at the warehouse. Podcast? When the next time. Well, maybe for here. Yeah. Maybe we'll try it here. Or
that is bright, mate.
Or next time we're in the warehouse. The warehouse, you've been to the warehouse. At the warehouse, they have a lot of the big floodlights. And then especially with my glasses, the glasses always create glare, but having to have the eyes, I can't keep my hat on and try to keep the glare from the floodlights not hitting my eyes, but maybe I'll try it out. Maybe we'll give it
we did try it back in the day.
Yeah.
But it just felt strange. I think I might have wore it for a net session. Felt like, strange. What am I doing here?
Yeah. I already have enough going on with the glasses that I think having something else there might get in the way. This Ashes has provided us with amazing moments, and we are so thankful to Runmaker VR for being part of the show. Runmaker VR is your virtual reality indoor net session that you can improve your game from the comfort of your own home. You can train your reflexes with lifelike pace, refine your technique with real-time feedback, and take on sessions inspired by legends to help your game improve in the middle. This Ashes, don't just be a spectator, own the moment. Work on your short ball, work on your cover drive, even your ramp shot. And without real-time feedback, you can record your sessions and you can send it to a coach to make sure that your game is on point this season. Your journey starts on the pitch with Runmaker VR. Download Runmaker VR and save the sessions with code RUNMAKERSUB-E6EFEA to get 50% off your first 6-month subscription when signing up before January 31st. Thank you again to Runmaker for getting behind That's Cricket Podcast. That's pretty much all the dilemmas and all of the wrap on the Australian team. Now let's move it over to Team England, to the Barmy Army, to the Pommies. The biggest note here for the Poms, Mark Wood is out.
Yeah, Mark Wood, I think as expected during the test series, we won't expect him to play every test. You're probably thinking, does he play one, miss one, play one, or play one, miss two, play two? I think he's a bowler who gives 100% every single ball. That's the way he approaches the game. So obviously the amount of stress that goes through that knee, and if you have a little problem already, then it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. They'll probably see this opportunity to rest him up to give him, how many days rest now? So you play a 2-day test, and then you're going to a massive gap, and then you've got another test. So he's potentially got, nearly 2 weeks off?
Yeah.
So you've got 2 weeks off where you can get him back to firing 100%. Everyone does need to bowl overs to be in rhythm. Woody's very good for the fact, if he misses a couple of weeks, he doesn't miss his rhythm. He's very accurate with his bowling. It seems like he can miss 2 weeks and come back and he can bowl exactly where he wants to.
Yeah.
I know that's a professional cricketer. You should be able to do that. But some people need a lot more rhythm. I think he's at a point where if he has a break, he's going to come back fresh, strong, and bowling quick.
Yeah. I mean, so he has his left knee braced. Looks like a knee issue. And you talked about a lot how he falls over a lot at the crease, and he was stumbling almost every ball at the Optus. Just like goes in so hard, and he falls through his run up.
Yeah.
Is there a way for him to correct that, or is it just like he just does his thing?
To be honest with you, there was two big injuries this week. Obviously, Woody's got his bad knee. My mum tripped up and now she's wearing a knee brace.
Poor mum.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, you got to watch out for them New York cobble streets.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
So, two knee braces this week for two people who I know.
Yes.
I think at this point in his career, that's the way he balls. It's going to be very hard to change that. He's had issues with his knee before, but I think he is who he is. I think if you start changing things and this part of his career, he's probably going to pick up injuries elsewhere.
Yeah.
Let's move this. Let's move the foot. That changes your back, it changes your rotation, everything changes, and it might not feel comfortable to him. I think he's been working hard behind the scenes for years and years and years on this, on his foot, on his knee, and it's just a part of him. He's built how he's built. He'll try and do what he can to be strong and ball rockets, but he's going to need a little bit of a break.
Yeah. So with him being out, there's a spot opened up. We got potential Tongue could be in.
Say it how it's written, mate.
Tongue could be in. Or Potts. We're going to get some pot. We're going to get some pots action.
A bit of pot.
A little pot.
I think that, obviously, Tongue is... He can pick up wickets. He's dangerous when he gets it right. But also, sometimes, he can leak runs. And do you want to leak runs on a pitch that is... Yeah, you want to... Obviously, for me... So, if you leak runs on a wicket that's potentially nibbling around, that's very dangerous for England. For me, I think Potts is more like a Borland, is more like a Doggett. He can hit the stumps probably more than anyone else. When I've seen him play, when he's played for England, when he's played for Durham, he seems to ball line and length. He can ball decent pace. He can ball 135, get up to 140, but he's consistent, and I think he'll challenge the stumps with a pink ball, especially under twilight. I potentially would go for him because you have pace with Joffre, you have pace with Gus. Stokes, he can ball quick, and I think he would add that kind of Jimmy Anderson. He's not Jimmy Anderson, but like kind of that Jimmy, that kind of Glenn McGrath of line and length, hit the top of the stumps.
Yes. And so Tongue and Potts both had a roll. Got to roll the arm over in the President's 11.
Rock and roll?
Yes. How'd they go? How was it over there for them?
Potts picked up 2 wickets.
There you go.
Which he seems to do most innings when you watch him play. I think he struggled a little bit with Durham towards the back end, but when he's in good rhythm, he seems to pick up a couple of wickets and then he'll pick up a 5-for, but he's fairly consistent. I think he picked up 2 for 40 or 15 overs. I think that Tongue didn't pick up a wicket and similar went for 40 or 50 or 14 overs, very similar kind of figures.
Yes.
But yet for me, I think more reliable would be to go with Potts.
Potts. Liam's prediction is Potts.
Potts for Paul's.
Potts for Paul's over here. Potts instead of Tongue. Now, Zach Crawley, top of the innings. Mm-hmm. Zach Crawley on a pair, 2 ducks.
Get him out there, man.
King pair. What's the king pair? Is it king pair is a third duck or is 2 ducks a king pair? I don't think
you probably know more than me.
King,
I don't like to think about it in case
you don't
I
like
got
to think
it.
About it.
Yeah,
I saw a whole thing where Brody and Joss were talking about they don't eat duck. It's like a superstition.
Same.
And I commented back. I was like, "Who's eating duck in the first place? When are we eating duck?
I don't
Who
mind,
does duck?
I don't mind peeking duck with a crispy pancake.
When
you
are
know?
We doing duck? Is anyone do duck?
Grab.
Are you on duck?
Yeah.
You on the duck? Yeah. What the duck? I don't do duck. I can't tell you the last time I've eaten duck.
I'm not going to lie. I love to go and get a nice crispy duck, shred it up, put it on some thin pancakes, a bit of hoisin sauce.
Pancakes?
Yes, mate.
Like
where
a crate?
Are you living?
Like a crate? Yeah, I don't know where I'm living. I'm living in a reality where there's no duck.
It's like a thin pancake crepe.
I'm from the bush. Really, a duck in the bush?
So I think it's normally you have a thin pancake, crispy duck.
Like a dosa.
No, thinner.
Thinner?
And then
how
you have
get
like
thinner than a dosa?
Bit of cucumber shredded on there, and then I don't like cucumber, and then a bit of hoisin, a bit of plum salt.
Okay, we gotta take this off the pot. We gotta go and get some duck. We gotta try it out. We gotta go on location.
What about everyone who's watching in terms of the amateur cricketers, professional cricketers? Would you eat duck the day before a game? That's the question.
Would you eat
what the duck?
What the duck? Would you eat duck? I don't know. We should try it out.
I didn't.
I should go eat duck and then go bat. And then see how I play.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I think I'm still gonna be good, no matter what. Doesn't matter. Duck, chicken, pork, fish.
Yeah, you do. But what if you? Oh, you don't eat duck.
So though. back to Crawley. Yeah. Back to Zach Crawley. What does he do? What do? We had this discussion. We're gonna get into it again. Why? Why does go hard? Why? Well, he's just going to go hard and he's going to come off three out of whatever many times. And if it comes off, it comes off. It doesn't come off, right? Is this what we're going with it?
Yeah, when you look at the last few years when they've been successful, you kind of think you needed to come off maybe three, four times in the Ashes. And obviously there's still a lot of cricket to play. When he comes off, he looks like the best player in the world, right? In
terms of,
he's tall, he's big, he's strong, and the shots are so like powerful and he's in control. He can pull and he can drive back down the ground. He can smack the spinner. And I think the England team have a strategy where they want him to come good maybe three times in that test series. What's the average below 30? Like, yeah, somewhere near that, maybe 30.
Yeah.
A touch below. So I think he has to go out there and still try and play his game. That's what England want. England realise he's going to give chances. Hopefully he gets through the early stages and he puts the pressure on. But yeah, I mean, now the self-doubt's in his brain. This is the hardest challenge of his career, probably to date.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the Gabba against one of the best pink ball balls of all time.
Yeah.
Because not many people have bowled with a pink ball, I guess. But obviously Stark is frightening with that pink ball. That might, and it might swing back with that ball as well.
Yeah.
It didn't really swing back too much for him. But I think even him, Crawley and Rooty, Stark's got the number. So Rooty's obviously more experienced. He's got bags and bags of runs, a great average, one of the best players ever played the game. But he's going to be going to this game similar. He just has the career and the stats to back it up to get through it, where Crawley doesn't.
It's not in Australia, I guess. But
there you go.
But,
but average Joe.
Yeah, my mate. Shout out to my mate, Average Joe. Shout out. He still hasn't got out of the Average Joe slogan yet. But what is the situation? Is there a reality? Is there a reality where, like, if Crawley has two more bad innings, is there a reality where he gets dropped? Like, who would replace him? Is there a guy for England that they could replace him? Is there a way that you shuffle the order, or is it he's just in? They're like, you're in no matter what. We're gonna go all in on you for the five tests, and there's no situation where we go, you're out.
I think they're going all in.
They'll just go all in?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. There you go. I'm happy with it. Like I said, if they're going to go all in, then I like the all in on the thing of, okay, maybe it comes off the three out of however many times, three out of 10 times, because there's going to be two innings, is three out of 10 times.
So you're a bit like Travis did, right? Is that's hard to do, to score 100 that quick and win a game like that. But can you have Crawley when he can take the game away maybe in three innings out of how many? Potentially 10?
Yeah.
So I think that's what they look for. Hopefully, as an England fan, as an ex-England player, I want to see that. It's going to be tricky. But hopefully, let's see.
Yeah. So into the Gabba, the wicket looks like another green monster. I made a joke. The Bami Yami put out, took a picture up of the thing, and they said, looking good. And I said, it's more likely your likelihood of winning the lottery than going 4 days.
You're allowed to bet on that.
Another spicy look. Yeah. Well, I'm not a betting guy.
Okay.
I'm not a betting guy. But are we going to get 4 days? Like it looks pretty green. I mean, is it going to, from what we saw in the first test, is it going to go 4 days? And how does England kind of cope with the hot, humid conditions up at the Gabba?
I think it's going to be finished lunchtime day four.
Lunchtime day four.
That's what I
heard it right here.
The weather is steamy in the Gabba. It gets hot there. It's like being in a sauna. It's a bit like subcontinent.
Sauna, yes.
A bit like, to be honest with you, it's a bit down for, it, I guess, like Florida kind of weather, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Very Florida weather, very sticky and sweaty. And obviously for English bowlers going out there, they need to get used to that. We didn't grow up in that. We're not. So you have to get acclimatized to that.
Yeah.
It's a different weather to Perth. Yeah. Perth was a bit warm, but in especially in Brisbane, in the Gabba, it's like a coliseum and you feel that heat, you feel that sweat. Obviously the steam comes up from the ground. I'm not sure what the weather forecast is, if there's any rain knocking around, but that kind of can make it worse.
It's been humid, yeah.
Yeah, but also like to that fact, if it is humid, the wicket can get a little bit spicy in terms of it can be damp, it can hold the moisture, which makes it an absolute nightmare to bat on, especially if it's hot and then you get in the twilight, it's going from night to day, the ball bounces around and seams and swings, so it's a lot to navigate in that period.
Yes. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how they do, and again, the thing I think You can look at the England batting, or sorry, the England team as a whole from that first test. They didn't come back in that second innings as strong as their first innings. Maybe that's because of the conditions, you know, not used to being playing in the hot of Australia, or just the turnaround wasn't there for them as a unit to be able to recover as well. Going to be another struggle for them in the hot, humid conditions of Perth. It doesn't get any easier. Mm. You know, going to Melbourne is more of English weather. You can get all four seasons down Melbourne. But yeah, going to the Gabba, day, night, hot and humid. You know, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for England.
I agree.
England at the Gabba.
But that's how legends are created, mate.
That's how legends are made right there.
Correct.
So in with a pink ball. A little bit of that's cricket moment. Little funny moment here. Me mate, our mate Sammy Constance.
Wow, let's have a look at it.
During the President's 11, got to bowl his first ball. You gotta love this. This is fantastic. Oh, beautiful pie. Absolute pie there. And it goes for four. And it gives me some confidence. It gives me some confidence. It means if he can play President's 11, you know, Prime Minister's 11, you know, it gives confidence for everyone that can go over and roll the arm over.
Yeah, you know, you got to give him some practice, right? He bowled a pie, but sometimes pie gets wickets. That was the pie that went for four.
And then he had a drop catch. There was an edge into the slips. He had a catch dropped off him. But sometimes pies get wickets.
Does every Australian cricketer have the same hairdresser?
Potentially. Like that, potentially. I'm not sure. Look at that ball right in the slot. Bang.
It's actually, he mishit that.
He mishit
that. That was a bad shot.
Not expecting it. One of the things with cricket is you're not expecting the ball to come on the full. It's not an expectation, you know? And so when it does come on the full, sometimes you're put off.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, out of the hand. You're like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? And you kind of like, freeze and panic.
People get wickets from that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolute pies. One of my favorite things is before lunch, you just bring on your pie bowler. Bring on your pie bowler. Give him one just to roll, like this, like that. Roll the arm over and just try to manufacture a wicket out of nothing with a pie.
I think when you look at leg spinners in history, like yourself,
yeah,
you get more wickets from pies than any other bowler.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolute pies.
Sometimes a nice pie is good.
They call me the Bannon Bomber because the ball just goes so high. So high, it's like a bomb's dropping down. Okay. So high, and then you get them. They come running out of their crease and then stumping. You know what I mean? That's how you get them. Absolute.
We need a video of this for the next.
Yes, we're gonna. We'll have to clip in some Bano bombers and have you facing up some of the leg spin. You know, I think I might be in for a minor league contract. I think I've got some pretty good bombers out there.
We can work on that.
We'll work on it for sure. It's there. So if Sammy Constance can do it, then I can do it.
You can.
So then, also moving on, now we're going to go bonus cricket action. We're going to go that's cricket from around the world. Couple of cool things happening around the world. Got to give a shout out to Tim David in the Abu Dhabi T10. Old mate, 98 off 30 runs. Sorry, 98 off 30 balls.
Otani. There
he
is.
Yes, my old Otani mate. 98 off 30. 12 sixes off the last 15 balls faced.
That's crazy.
Absolute insanity.
That's
absolutely crazy.
When you watch Tim David bat, he has his own technique and people try to copy it, but you just can't.
Insane.
Maybe it's just that, isn't that like the Singapore in him? The Singapore slinger, right? Isn't he from Singapore?
I don't know. Is he?
I think he could have represented Singapore. I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I think
so. Didn't know that.
Well, maybe I'm just talking a lot.
He's the T20 Aussie, now the T10 Aussie slinger here. Been doing great for Australia in the T20s.
Smashes it.
But now in the Abu Dhabi T10, the Bulls smashed. They scored 150 runs in 10 overs, and it was crazy to kind of watch. But 98, I mean, it deserves 100. They should have bowled a no ball to him just so he could get the 100. I mean, at that point, they probably should have just said, oh, okay, bowl 100.
You know what's crazy also now, when you look around the world of cricket, people can score 100 or 40 balls and people don't bat an eyelid. You're like, oh, that's crazy. Someone did that. It's not, if it was 10, 15 years ago, it's so crazy. But now the way the world of franchise cricket works, people scoring runs off. But you have to appreciate that that's hard to do. That's some clean hitting, whether you're playing on 50-meter boundary, 100-meter boundary. To do that, to hit how many sixes and just a small amount of balls is pretty incredible.
Oh, absolutely insane. And I mean, we mentioned this a couple of pods ago, how crazy the Tim David, stuff is, him with Shohei Ohtani and hitting the ball. Could have gone out of any ballpark here in the States. And I mean, these shots were, you know, full cricket shots, just absolutely teeing off. The boundaries didn't seem like they were that small. They weren't like that small. Like some of these balls were going way out into the stands. So yeah, shout out to Tim David. Shout out to Tim Daddy getting 98 off 30. And then this is my favorite moment of the week right here. This is my favorite moment of the week. This is my favorite That's Cricket moment. Grace Harris. Grace Harris, one of the classic cricketers. She plays Australian. She really plays on the Australian team. Plays for the Brisbane Heat. And she's just an all-time character. And she busted her hand. I don't know if the clip is available. The clip's not available. Okay, so we're just going to give a shout out. I'll probably clip this later on socials. But my That's Cricket moment of the week is Grace Harris. The ball gets smashed back into her hand. Busts her hand. It hits her non-bowling hand. Hits her left hand. Cuts it open. And then she immediately runs over. And she calls for the trainer. And she goes, "Oh, don't worry. I'll bowl. It's just me non-bowling hand. I'm fine. I'll stitch it up later. I'm like, it's just, there's so many moments of her doing stuff like this. It was just hilarious. I saw that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cricket. That's cricket right there.
Many people would go off for that. Many people would be crying to get off, get the physio on and get it wrapped up. But to be fair play, she's like, yeah, it kind of hurts, but
It's me non-bowling hand. We do have a little bit of footage here. Let me know how to get it here. Comes back, hits her hand, and she's looking at it, and she's like, oh, I busted me hand.
My webbing.
Oh, I got to go off. Oh, hang on. Oi. Oi. Come off. I mean, you don't see any blood or anything. Tape it up. It's me non-bowling hand.
What I do like about that, I think Alex Hartley is the commentator. She said, you're going to go off after the innings. And she's like, no, I'll do it after the game.
Yeah, after the game.
I'll get it after the game. I'll get it stitched out.
I mean, I love that. That's so funny. I mean, that's cricket right there.
That's cricket.
That's cricket right there. So there you go, team. That is everything we got time for. That's everything here on the preview episode for That's Cricket. Make sure you tune in to us. We'll be live for the first session at the Gabba. That will be 11 p.m., 10:30 p.m.
East Coast,
New York time.
New York.
New York time. That's it, team. That's cricket.
That's cricket.